And let's pray this morning. Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to you, so guide our minds and so fill our imaginations, so control our wills that we may be wholly yours, utterly dedicated to you. And as you do this, we will give you thanks and praise, and we pray as we open your word, come Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we all said, amen. I can't see you all over there because of the tree, but maybe I'll come down. Should I keep eye contact? I'll try. It's all right. One note that I think is worth mentioning, because of John 1, which Deacon Josh just read in our liturgy, the reason that he every week comes out, or the gospel reader comes out towards you all on the floor, is because the word came and dwelt among us. And so he brings out the gospel book, which is about the life of Jesus. And it symbolizes for us that the word again has come and dwells among us. The title of today's message is Imaginative Embrace. Today we continue, as you already heard, to celebrate Christmas. There are 12 days of Christmas on the church calendar. Writer Ashley Wallace has an article with the title, Let the Light Linger. She writes this because Christmas is not only a day, but again a season. And today is the fourth Sunday of Christmas. The Christmas season ends January 5th, and January 6th is the Feast of the Epiphany, when we celebrate the star revealing Jesus as the newborn King. This season, we open ourselves up again to the reality that the light has arrived. As we read in our gospel reading, John 1:9, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. But for us, the light has come. As Advent has given us an invitation to wait, refrain, repent, and yes, rebel against the cultural tide of anxiety and commercial excess. What does the Christmas season invite us to? Joan Chittister, in her book, The Liturgical Year, writes this, quote, "We come to Christmas looking for the signs of Jesus' presence manifested in our own life and age, in us and in the world around us. Christmas is not about a baby, not about sentimental piety, not about Christian fantasy. Christmas is a very adult feast. It stretches far beyond a manger in Bethlehem. It brings us to recognize who it is that we, like the people of Jesus' own time, will in everything we do in life this year either accept or reject." Close quote. Today, in our gospel reading, John the Apostle invites us to accept or believe in what might read like unbelievable things. The unbelievable things that are the realest of things or the truest of things. What do you mean? If you'd like to open up to John chapter 1, you can do that. He invites us to believe that light is a person who has come into the world to illuminate and enlighten our lives. He who, verse 3, created everything or made all things. Without him, not one thing came into being. Paul says the same thing in Colossians 1:16. For by him, that is Jesus, all things were created. Our verse goes on. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. This Word is light. It's this light who was from the beginning, who created all things, comes to recreate us. This light is pure. It's brilliant. It is the light to scatter all darkness. It is, He is, the light that sheds light on all things. This light illuminates the truth. Verse 9, this is the true light. And verse 5, it shines in the darkness and is not overcome. We read in John 1 about what could be described as a myth. A myth is a traditional story explaining some natural or social phenomenon, typically involving supernatural events, and typically fanciful and untrue. C.S. Lewis, in his essay, Myth Became Fact, writes, quote, "To be truly Christian, we must both assent to the historical fact and also receive the myth, fact though it has become, with the same imaginative embrace which we accord all myths," close quote. Do we embrace this season that is Christmas and allow it to fill our imaginations and our lives? Yes, this myth that is fact. We allow Christmas to take shape and reshape our homes. We put up trees, lights, candles. We adorn our hearths. We give gifts and sing seasonal songs. So much reshaping light. But does this light reach in and reshape us? Or does it become hollowed out, a sentimental season of decorations and obligations? Here's the framing question for Christmas and the Epiphany season that I want to ask of us. Do we need to claim or reclaim a holy capacity to see and experience God in our lives and in the world? Does the light, does this season lift you up, giving you glimmers of truth and grace, giving a glow to your soul? Is there a need for, again, imaginative embrace? You might respond with no. I'm tired, and if I'm honest, I really hate Christmas. The demands, the disappointments, the reminder of strained relationships, the frenzy, the loneliness. I just want to move on. I don't want the light of Christmas to linger or last. I really just want it to pass. One day is difficult. So you're telling us to leave the decorations up and keep pondering, engaging, and celebrating? Yes. As the church, we are celebrating this season, the reality that we hide in our hearts and ought to celebrate all year long, that God Himself in Jesus Christ was with us, is with us, and will be with us forever. Put succinctly, God Himself in the incarnation is our faithful companion in all of life and into eternity. You didn't get what you wanted for Christmas. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. Why? For he himself has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. God says presence is the answer to our pains and our problems. We have incarnation in the face of any consternation. I use this word intentionally. Why? Consternation, from consternare, to terrify, or to, quote, completely knock one off balance. How does this Jesus, this eternal word, companion us and the world, according to John? Let me give us three brief ways. John tells us what? He writes, in the beginning was the Word. We use words, well, to communicate, but we use them to be known. We use words to disclose the realities and unknown things about us. Words are used to express our thoughts, our feelings, our loves, our dislikes. How do we separate us from our words? If you want to know who God is, what he is like, how he feels towards you, look at the expression of God. Expression is the act of showing. And God has shown himself in his Son, his Word, or Logos, who has always existed and is God himself. Expression is from the Latin, literally meaning to press out. And God, through the Virgin Mary, pressed out, made visible, brought forth his Son into the world. To redeem the world, yes, and for God to disclose himself to us. Jesus came to show us who God the Father is. Hear this. The expression of God's heart towards you is Jesus. I think that's worth repeating. The expression of God's heart towards us is Jesus. The New Revised Standard Version puts verse 18 this way. No one has ever seen God. It is the only Son himself, God, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. And you all know, because God loved, he gave his Son, who again is close to his own heart. The late Brennan Manning wrote, God is said to have a single, relentless stance toward us. He loves us. John 14, verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Hebrews 1, 3. He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by his word of his power. And lastly, 2 Corinthians 2, 4. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. So number one, Jesus companions us by illuminating and showing us the Father. Second, as we have been reading about, Jesus companions us as light. I was reading sociologist Robert Withnow's description of preaching in America's public theology during the 18th century. Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. In the chapter, in his chapter, The Miseries of Earthly Life, Withnow writes this, quote, "Average life expectancy in the American colonies was about 40 years. One child in two died before the age of 10, and the rate was much higher among children of the enslaved. Smallpox and other epidemic diseases routinely killed a quarter of those infected. Nearly everyone who had lived long enough to marry could expect to die or be bereaved within a decade. These were the conditions of life," close quote. This is a lot of emotional as well as physical and material uncertainties. In a word, a lot of darkness. The darkness of death, disease, and I would imagine prolonged discouragement. We don't have to contend with life in this way, to this extent, in the modern age. But the need is the same for us. A need for light. A light that is not overcome even in the face of darkness. A light, the verb could read in our 1 John, this is chapter 5, that shines on in the darkness. And the darkness did not put it out. Sometimes I think it can feel, no matter what age we are in, that the darkness is winning out. And we struggle to see, behold, and embrace with our, again, imaginations, the ever-shining light that is God with us. And I ask, can Christmas give you a greater glimpse of this light? In contrast and in potent competition with the darkness that surrounds us. Do you believe in the power of this light? The power of this light to do what exactly? We read in verse 12 that if you believe and receive Him, Jesus, then you are His child. Allow me to read to you verse 12. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The power of this light to make us His own and make us people of light. The power is to be His beloved children, no matter what. Can you dare to let more light in? John Guerra, who gave a concert here last year, has a song entitled, "Let a Little Light In." In this song, it's his plea for divine hope despite his own struggle with despair, darkness, and wanting more of God's divine presence. He sings, "Let a little light in, let a little light in. My heart is in a panic. Don't leave me in darkness." Perhaps this is our prayer too in this season of Christmas. Third and last point. He, Jesus, companions us as life. He is the source of all life, we read. And He is the source of renewed life, or we could say full life.
He is the one to do this because he is the one who from his fullness, this is verse 16, gives grace upon grace. And verse 14, he is not only full of grace, he's full of grace and truth. What is grace? Grace is that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, goodwill, and loving kindness. Do you experience this from Jesus as he companions you? What about truth? Lewis again writes in the same essay, "What flows into you from the myth is not truth, but reality." Truth is always about something, but reality is that about which truth is. And therefore, every myth becomes the father of innumerable truths. The incarnation transcends myth. Jesus is truth. He became fully human so we could be fully restored to truth, to life and fellowship or companionship with God. His light illuminates our eyes, our hearts, and our minds to know him as truth. And you might say in all this, but how? It is made clear by John in our text. Our response to his coming, Jesus' coming, to be with us, is we accept, receive, and believe. Let me read to you John, again, chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. He's the creator. Yet the world didn't know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people didn't accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in him, again we read, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. Here we see him also as Redeemer. So today, Church of the Good Shepherd, during this Christmas season, will you accept this myth that is fact? Will you receive him? Will you believe in him afresh? Will you become his child as we remember, accept, receive, believe, and behold the Christ child, who is God himself come down? He, Jesus, who became incarnate by the Virgin Mary and was made man. He who is light and life, who imparts to us grace and truth. He who, verse 18, has made God known to us. May you know him as your faithful Savior and your companion. May you truly and fully embrace him in your imagination, now and always. So happy Christmas.